KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:07, we have a mostly clear sky, 3 degrees below zero. We look forward to be partly cloudy and cold today, a high of 8. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In area news, the owners of the Danish Inn in Elkhorn announced through emails and social media Wednesday evening that the restaurant will close its doors for good next week after more than 30 years in business. Owner Vern Klein said that it is with much sadness that we must announce that the Danish Inn, after over 30 years of operation, will be closing at the end of next week. The high cost of providing quality food and service has made continuing impossible for us. Thank you for your loyalty, friendship, and past patronage. Their last day of business is March the 7th. On the restaurant's Facebook page, the comments ranged from shock and sadness to anger and disappointment. The business said in response, "We are sad, too, that we've tried everything to stay open. Summers have been good, but winter was brutal this year. A real lack of business and decent weather, rising food costs and wage increases. They appreciate all of you and your business." The closing of the Danish Inn marks yet another loss for residents seeking family-owned and operated businesses in the area. A little more than 2 years ago, Mickle's Family Restaurant in Harlan closed after more than 60 years in business. In December of 2012, the Farmer's Kitchen, a family-owned restaurant in Atlantic, closed its doors after more than a dozen years in business. An Iowa State Patrol trooper from Avoca started his final distinguished tour of duty this morning. Trooper Scott Pigsley, who is retiring from the patrol, radioed into state radio in Lewis that he was 1041 for the last time. That's beginning tour of duty early this morning. Pigsley began his career 28 years ago and is best known for his years of flying the State Patrol's aircraft based in Atlantic, and we wish him well. Police and Council Bluffs say no injuries were reported following the robbery Wednesday evening of a coffee shop at 3030 West Broadway Street. Officials say two men, one Hispanic, the other Caucasian, entered the Scooter's coffee shop at around 7 p.m. The Hispanic male approached an employee behind the counter and pointed a black semi-automatic handgun at her and the register, but made no demands. A second employee behind the counter had her back turned away from the suspect and was not aware of what was happening until the first employee called her name. The two female employees tried to open both cash registers, but one would not open. After the second register was opened, the women offered the contents to the suspect, who then ordered the women to place the money in a bag. When no bag was found, the suspect went around a counter and grabbed the till, which contained an undetermined amount of cash. Both suspects then fled out the door and were last seen running northwest toward Avenue A. Both men were between 18 and 20 years of age. The Hispanic male wore gloves and all-black outer clothing consisting of a sweatshirt with a hood up and a black handkerchief partially covering his face. The Caucasian suspect wore a bright blue hooded sweatshirt, gloves, and a ski mask. Anyone with information about the crime is asked to call Crime Stoppers at 712-328-7867. Officers of the Red Oak Police Department arrested a teenager Wednesday on a charge of eluding. 17-year-old Devin Lee Smith of Red Oak was taken into custody at around 9:45 p.m. in the vicinity of West 5th and Coolbaugh Streets. Smith was brought to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center, cited into juvenile court, and then released to his parents. Deputies with the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office arrested a Pottawatomie County man Wednesday afternoon. 24-year-old John Polubjek of Oakland was arrested at around 4:50 p.m. on a warrant for a probation violation. He has since posted a $2,500 bond and was released from custody. A restitution hearing was held Wednesday afternoon at the courthouse in Atlantic in the case of an Atlantic woman who falsely claimed her 5-year-old daughter had cancer and then raised money for her treatment. Fourth District Court Judge Greg Stensland presided over the hearing for 30-year-old Letha K. Slauson. Slauson herself was unable to make it to the proceedings due to the weather, but she was represented by her lawyer, Jay Mez. During the nearly 50-minute hearing, a half a dozen persons testified and provided evidence to the judge of how much they had contributed to Slauson or the Super Riley Fund set up for her daughter. Most presented photocopies of checks, but one woman presented credit card statements. The amounts claimed ranged from $200 to over $3,000. In all, about $10,000 in claims were presented by private individuals or persons representing organizations such as the First United Methodist Men's Group at Atlantic and Beta Sigma Phi. Judge Stensland, Mez, and County Attorney David Wiederstein agreed to accept the claims. Now it's up to the judge to determine how much each person or organization will receive.
Mr. Wiederstein, it is my understanding that total victim restitution is in the amount of $35,964.06. 3,000 of which has been returned in the form of an RV.
Yes.
For a total of $32,964.06. Is that the restitution number?
Yes.
But that there are funds available to distribute in the amount of $15,920.83. Is that correct?
The judge said since the amount of claims exceed the available funds, it puts him in a bit of a predicament.
We've already had a situation where we're trying to figure out what to do with money that shouldn't have been given out in the first place. As a judge, I cannot exacerbate that by giving out funds that I can't track. I just can't do it. So I will reimburse those funds that I believe were provable here today. I'll get that out in the form of a court order. That'll be the subject of a future court order. I hope to get that done in the next few days, barring unforeseen circumstances.
In January, the 30-year-old Slauson was sentenced to 5 years probation and was ordered to continue mental health treatment and not contact her 5 children unless requested by her therapist. In November, she pled guilty to 2 counts of child endangerment, 1 of administering harmful substances, 1 count of theft, and 1 of unlawful possession of a prescription drug. In our funeral announcements this morning, Austin Dean Ayers, age 24, of Adair, died Saturday. Memorial services for Austin Ayers will be today at 11 o'clock at the Casey United Methodist Church. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair has arrangements. Charlotte Lottie McDermott, age 91, of Harlan, died Sunday. A massive Christian burial service for Lottie McDermott will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. James Nielsen, age 69, of Kimbleton, died Monday. Funeral services for James Nielsen will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Kimbleton. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Ethelyn Rhodes, age 98, who's formerly of Greenfield, died Saturday in California. Funeral services for Ethelyn Rhodes will be this Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Gary Holloway, age 70, of Kirkman, died February 21st. Funeral services for Gary Holloway will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Billy Dean Lynn, age 84, of Casey, died Monday in Stewart. A celebration of life service for Billy Lynn will be on Saturday from 2 until 4 p.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. William Wright, age 84, who's formerly of Baird, died February 20th in Georgia. Graveside services for Bill Wright will be on Monday at 11 o'clock at the Highland Township Cemetery near Baird. Odie Funeral Home in Baird has arrangements. Paul McLaren, age 71, of Lewis, died Monday in Omaha. Private graveside services will be held for Paul McLaren at a later date. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Marjorie Hetrick, age 82, of Atlantic, died February 19th at the Heritage House. A private family interment of cremains for Marjorie Hetrick will be held at a later date at the Iowa Veterans Cemetery near Van Meter. And Bernice Bass, age 85, of Fontenelle, died Wednesday in Creston. Funeral services for Bernice Bass will be on Monday at 10 o'clock at the Fontenelle United Methodist Church with a luncheon to follow. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. That is a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.